Very good, girls. How many of you adults would do that? No accompaniment, just up here and sing away. Very good. Thank you for that. If you would take your Bibles at this time, we're going to go right into the Word. Have them ready. Have your study sheets ready. Let's pray together, first of all. Father, we thank you for that message. The message of Jesus coming here, taking on the form of a man, living among us, teaching us, revealing you and what you're like to us, and then going to the cross for us in our place, that we might experience forgiveness and a personal relationship with you that lasts forever. Thank you for the Christmas season, for the message that we celebrate, the truth that we remember, and hopefully that we have shared with other people. Father, as we think a little bit more about Christmas, would you minister to us, challenge us, maybe comfort us and encourage us? Father, prepare us perhaps to head into the next year of our lives. Whatever it is you want to say to us, Lord, give us ears to hear. Make us willing to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. You probably are familiar with King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table. According to legend, whenever the Knights of the Round Table would return to King Arthur's palace after a battle, King Arthur would make sure that his knights were examined thoroughly. And if their bodies did not bear any battle scars, Arthur would send them back into battle with this order: go out and get your scars. I wonder if anyone here has scars. I think we all do. We all have scars. Scars are those visible or invisible marks that come from injury or hurt or some situation that usually was difficult, and that situation left a mark. Sometimes the marks are physical. We can see them. Most of us have that kind of scar. But a lot of times the scars from life situations are invisible. They're scars on the heart, on the inner person. They're scars on the mind that we have. Some are battle scars, you know. Those of you who have been involved in athletics, you know that you can get scars, physical scars. I know that when I've had reunions with my buddies from high school and sports, Janine always got a kick out of us getting together and reliving all these ball games. And sometimes you even start showing each other your scars, you know, as a way of remembering and celebrating those times. They're battle scars from athletics. But sometimes the scars are a little more serious. It's been an accident, or maybe someone else has inflicted injury on us so that we have a scar that reminds us of that. And then, of course, there's all the invisible scars, where people have attacked us, and it was like a battle. We've been verbally attacked. We've been verbally accused wrongly, whatever. And those things don't leave the physical scars, but they do leave scars from being attacked. I was reading in the African country of Botswana, the ranchers have a problem with lions and jaguars and leopards, all these big cats. And they're killing their cattle, attacking. And the ranchers were losing cattle, so they had to figure out something to do. You know what they did? They started painting a pair of eyes on the hindquarters of the cows. Because it turns out that these big cats instinctively are what they call ambush predators. They attack when their prey is not looking. They ambush. But once they painted eyes on the hindquarters of the cattle, the farmers didn't lose any more cattle. Because apparently these cats decided they couldn't ambush the cattle because the cattle were looking at them. Little trivia there for you. We can't do that when it comes to people attacking us, verbally or physically. And so as a result, we end up with the scars. Sometimes we get Christmas scars, and you notice that's the title of the message, Christmas scars. Because I think there are people who live with scars from Christmases past for various reasons. But there have been experiences in their life during Christmas that have left scars. Maybe physical, but most of the time, the more invisible scars. And we'll talk more about our scars. But I want us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And since this is our last Christmas message, I wanted to go back to the story of Joseph and Mary. Matthew chapter 1. This is the account of the angel coming to Joseph. You know, when we talk about the Christmas story, we see a man and a young woman who are chosen by God. Out of all the Jewish men and women, they're chosen by God, and they have this wonderful, special, unique, blessed experience. And I think what we tend to do at Christmas time, with our nativity scenes and all our programs and stuff, we almost glamorize the experience of Joseph and Mary. Because it was a wonderful experience. It was unique. It was blessed. They were chosen by God. So it was special. But I'm not sure it was glamorous. And I want to suggest, at least as I've been thinking about it, that Joseph and Mary perhaps came away from their experience, as good as it was, as special as it was, with scars. Because, as I think about it, it probably was a very difficult experience. First of all, relationally. Joseph and Mary could have come out of this with some relational scars because of what it says in Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." You see, we're told that when Mary came back to Nazareth, after 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth in Jerusalem, she was probably 3 months pregnant. But she and Joseph were not officially married yet. Now stop and think. Small town, Nazareth, a young girl who is engaged to be married, goes away for 3 months, comes back, and there's a little bump. She's obviously pregnant. Joseph noticed it, obviously. It's possible they had a talk. It's very possible Mary explained to Joseph that she had not been unfaithful, which probably would have been Joseph's first thought, that she had not been immoral when she was away. And she probably related to Joseph this visit by the angel. And that this baby was put there by the Holy Spirit. And this baby is going to be the Son of God. And Joseph sits there thinking, what? Oh my goodness, Mary, can't you even be honest with me? What a story. Because according to Matthew 1, Joseph, if she tried to explain, did not believe it. Because Matthew 1 says he was in the process of ending the relationship. He loved her, so he was going to do it quietly to produce as little shame and disgrace and embarrassment for Mary as he could. But he was believing she had been unfaithful. And so he was going to end the relationship. Now we know here in this text that then, before he gets a chance to complete that, the angel appears to him and lets him know that Mary's right, her story is true, and fills him in on what's going on. And so Joseph stops that process of ending the relationship and goes ahead and takes her as his wife, and we know the rest of the story. But I just want to suggest this, that as Mary and Joseph's relationship then continue as husband and wife, there could be some scars relationally. Because Mary will remember that Joseph had not believed her. That Joseph had concluded she'd been unfaithful. That Joseph had concluded she'd been immoral. And that Joseph had started the steps toward ending the relationship. How could she forget that? There was probably some scarring in her heart, in her mind, as time went on, knowing that Joseph had not believed her and had been willing to end the relationship. Physically, there must have been scars. Obviously, Mary spent 9 months pregnant. I don't personally know what that's like, but 9 months pregnant, there's some physical stuff there. She goes through labor and delivery. Not necessarily easy. Maybe Mary experienced some physical scars from the experience. As wonderful as the experience was, there could have been some physical scars. They made about a 3-day journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That wouldn't have been easy. Joseph walking, 3 days walking, sandals, who knows, maybe some scarring as a result. Mary, 3 days, riding on a donkey probably, ready to deliver. Who knows, maybe some physical effect on her, scars. What about social scars? Because it probably would not have been only Joseph who had a hard time believing Mary's story. But remember, little town, Nazareth, people talk. And not only Joseph would have noticed she was pregnant when she came back, but the friends and the family and the townspeople. I have to believe, knowing human nature, that people talked, people accused, people judged, people perhaps rejected, people stayed away, people ostracized, both Mary and Joseph. That can leave scars. Who knows? Maybe Joseph and Mary lost friends because of how this took place. Maybe there were even family members, aunts, uncles, grandparents, who stepped out of the picture as their way of punishing their niece or nephew or granddaughter over what they thought was immorality. There probably were some social scars that Mary and Joseph ended up living with, just from the way that people may have responded. And then, of course, emotionally, from that kind of thing. Take a look at Luke chapter 2. This is a passage that we don't really cover a whole lot at the Christmas season. But in Luke chapter 2, you have an interesting statement made by an elderly man named Simeon. Shortly after Jesus has been born, Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple in Jerusalem. And they meet this old man named Simeon, who is really excited. He's been waiting for the Messiah to come, and God promised him, apparently, that he wouldn't die until he laid his eyes on the Messiah. And so he's holding baby Jesus there by the temple. And take a look at verse 33 of Luke 2. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, about Jesus, this baby. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he says this to Mary, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary, it's not going to be easy for you. A sword will pierce your soul. He's not talking physically. I don't remember any time when Mary had an actual sword jabbed into her. But I think what he's referring to is, Mary, this is going to be difficult for you emotionally, internally. Could it be that Mary had scars just from watching as her son was opposed, was rejected, was eventually beaten, was falsely accused, hung on the cross with her standing there with John? Could it be that's what Simeon was talking about? Mary, your soul is going to be pierced. This can be hard for you. And there may have been scars that Mary lived with. But by going through that emotionally, she watched her other sons reject her son Jesus and refuse to believe in him. I mean, she experienced a lot that could have created some emotional scars. So all that to say that Joseph and Mary know about scars, I think. Not sure it was as glamorous an experience as we think for them. And that they came away from the whole thing with some scars. Physically, socially, emotionally, relationally, that they had to work through. They were human beings, you know. The Bible doesn't reinforce what some believe, that Mary was this perfect, sinless person. She was a human being who needed grace like anyone else, which means she probably related to hurt and pain and rejection and accusation, just like any other human being. And it creates scars in her life. I think of the Apostle Paul. We're not going to spend a lot of time on him, but I just want you to know that everybody ends up with scars somewhere down the road. And we know the Apostle Paul did. He tells us that. Just one verse I'll show you in Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 17. Galatians 6:17. As he's ending this letter, Paul says, finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the scars of Jesus. Interesting statement, isn't it? Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus, the scars. You know what the Greek word translated mark or scar is? Stigma. Isn't that what the word stigma means when we use it? Someone has a mark on them? A scar that people react to? That's the Greek word, stigma. Paul says, I bear in my body the stigma of Jesus, the marks, the scars of Jesus. What does he mean? Well, if you have a New Living Translation, it really helps us. He says, I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Because of the life he lived for Jesus, Paul ended up with a lot of scars. For sure on his body, physically. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, a couple places he talks about, he just goes through the list. You know, the beatings, the stonings, the imprisonment. He talks about shipwrecks. He talks about being left to die outside a city. He talks about all these things that certainly left scars physically. He would never have experienced them if it wasn't for Jesus coming and for Jesus encountering him and for Jesus saving him and him serving Jesus. He would have never experienced all that physical scarring. And so he says, I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. And in those 2 Corinthians passages, especially chapter 11, he says not only those things, but he says every day I face the concern for you, he says to the Corinthians. That would be invisible scars of deep concern and burden for the people he's ministering to and what's going on in their lives. That can leave scars, but invisible ones. So the Apostle Paul knew about scars, just as Joseph and Mary probably did. So let's go back to us, you and me and our scars. All right? I believe we all have some. I mean, some of us could sit around and compare our athletic scars. I've got a few. Some of us have had surgeries, right? And we bear the scars of those experiences. Some of us have had accidents, so we bear some physical scarring perhaps from that. But it's not just the physical scars. I would guess most of us have some scars from situations where the scars are invisible, they're inside, because we've been betrayed, we've been mistreated over the course of our lives, we've been falsely accused, we've been ostracized for some reason, we have been rejected or neglected. We've been verbally abused, verbally hurt, wounded. All of those things can leave scars, right? Not visible ones on our body, but scars inside from those experiences. Some of us have relational scars. Things have happened in our past that have been very hurtful in relationships and brought relationships to an end. Friendships done. Marriages done. Family falling apart. We've experienced those relational things and it's left scars relationally. And of course, we've all had other situations that just come up. We've had severe health issues, physical pain and suffering. Death can leave scars, you know, losing loved ones, tragically or naturally. But death, the grief from death can leave scars that are invisible. So, life, let's just put it that way, life leaves scars, visible or invisible. And then there are the Christmas scars. Okay? I wonder how many of us would have to say we have some Christmas scars. That we can recall Christmases in the past. I remember Christmas 19, and then you can fill in the blank. Or I remember Christmas 20, and then you fill in the blank. And you would go on to say, that is a Christmas I would rather forget about. And now you, Pastor, are making me think about it. But you know, there might have been a Christmas or Christmases that for whatever reason, whatever happened, whatever went on, it left scars. And you'd rather forget about those Christmases. Maybe it had to do with relationships. Maybe it had to do with disappointment. Maybe it had to do with rejection and loneliness at a holiday called Christmas. Who knows what it was? Maybe it was a death, the loss of a loved one, right around Christmas. And it seemed to intensify the grief. And there are still scars from that, that God let it happen at Christmas time. And other losses, you know. Why did I lose my job right around Christmas that year? And you can add whatever your experience might have been. But a lot of us may have some Christmas scars. Some of us may have been wounded this Christmas, just this week. And those wounds are going to turn into scars because of what happened. I don't know. And then another thing that can produce scars is change. Change can be really hard. How change affects us can create scars. How we decide to address change can end up creating scars in our life. Here's something really interesting, because change happens so quick. We know it because think of all the changes in the last 9 months because of this pandemic and everything that goes along with it. Have there been any changes? Has any part of your life changed? Any part of your routine? Any part of your life experience changed? There's been a lot of change in a short time. And it's affected us. And how we've addressed it with one another has affected us. Right? And that can leave scars. Change is hard on a lot of people. Like this guy. Russian cosmonaut. Went up into space for 4 months. Orbited the Earth from the end of 1991 to the beginning of 1992, orbiting the Earth for 4 months. When he returned, here are the changes he found. The Soviet Union had collapsed while he was up there. The communist government was gone. The government that sent him up there. The country that sent him, USSR, had changed its name in those 4 months to the Russian Republic. When he left, Gorbachev was his leader. When he came back, it was Boris Yeltsin. When he left, his capital city was called Leningrad. 4 months later, when he came back, his capital city was called St. Petersburg. When this cosmonaut left, 500 rubles was enough money to live on for a month. 4 months later, when he came back, 500 rubles could only buy one hamburger. That was 4 months. Can you imagine what it was like to come back? And all those major changes had taken place in 4 months. Now, changes in the last 9 months haven't perhaps been that drastic, but there have been a lot of changes. And we all have experienced change in our past as well. And sometimes it really affects us and it leaves scars. Sometimes just the way we choose to address it ends up leaving scars. Change can do that. But the question is, what are your scars? What are your scars? And whatever your scars are that you carry with you, whatever form they take, I just want you this morning to understand that you're not alone in that. Joseph and Mary know what it's like to have scars. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to have scars. He could probably study any person in the Bible, and as you study their life, you begin to see things that probably left scars of one kind or another. But I want to just remind you, there's another person who understands this whole idea of having scars. John 20. John chapter 20. Now we're zooming ahead from the birth of Christ to a time after the resurrection, when the Apostle Thomas, for the first time, hears that Jesus has risen. And in John 20, verse 25, it says, "The other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks or scars in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it.'" We're told a week later, they're gathered, Thomas is there, and Jesus appears. And Jesus says in verse 27 to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." You see, Jesus had scars. Jesus had marks. Physical. He knows what it's like to have physical scars. But not only physical. We'll just use Mark as an example of another kind of scars. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. First few verses, Mark describes for us a time when early in his ministry, Jesus went back home to Nazareth. And just to come to the conclusion of that visit, we find out that his hometown people were offended by him, that he would claim to be the Messiah. And they rejected him. One of the gospel writers says they threw him out of town. And at the end of the passage in Mark, it says that Jesus did very little ministry there. Pretty much didn't come back because of their lack of faith and how they treated him. He had grown up in that town. He had lived there for 30 years. He had friends and family. But now when he goes back during his ministry, he's rejected. Are you okay with thinking maybe to go along with his physical scars? Jesus carried some invisible scars. Emotional scars, what it's like to be rejected. What it's like for your own four brothers to reject you, think you're crazy. I mean, Jesus knows scars, whether it's the visible ones or the invisible ones. He knows scars. That's why the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 can say what he said. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know why we can go to Jesus today boldly, and why we can go to Him and find grace and mercy to help us? Because Jesus understands what it's like to have scars. He understands the scars life brings to someone. He understands. And because He's been here, and He has borne the scars, He says, come to me. Come to me with boldness. And I will give you mercy and grace to help as you deal with your scars and your strengthlessness, your weakness. He understands. So, to wrap it up, three comments about scars. First of all, scars are real. You have to accept that. Everyone has scars of one type or another. It does no good for you to deny that. There's no value in trying to be tough and say, no, I don't have any scars. Nothing in my life has created scars. Scars are real. And we all experience them. Just like Mary and Joseph probably did. Just like the Apostle Paul. Just like anyone who ever lived in this world. Just like Jesus. Scars are real. Second, scars are reminders. I mean, think physical scars. Isn't that what physical scars? I mean, I can take you to every scar on my body and there's a story. It reminds me of something. Right? Every scar you carry on your body physically reminds you of something. It reminds you of a life situation. It might remind you of something that was really positive. You won the game. You scored on that play where you got injured. Or some physical scars remind us of things we'd like to forget. We wish that scar wasn't there because it was inflicted by another person out of anger. Or it was our fault. We made a lifestyle choice. We made a sinful choice. And as a result, we carry a scar that's visible. And it reminds us of those times. But scars are reminders, whether it's the visible kind or the invisible kind of scars. They remind us of where we got those scars. They bring us back to that time. They're reminders. And third, here's the good news. Scars are redeemable. You can be healed from the memory of that scar and how it came. You can experience that scar and whatever brought it to your life working for good. Remember at the beginning in my prayer, I mentioned Paul's statement where he says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him. Your scars are redeemable. God loves you so much, He can cause whatever created that scar to work out for good. He can do that. Sometimes He can redeem those scars in the sense of salvation. A person who doesn't know Jesus, and as a result of their life without Jesus, all kinds of scars, visible and invisible. But when you turn your life over to Jesus, when you receive Him as Lord and Savior, you trust Him for salvation, He can come in and He can redeem those scars and change you and transform you. And those scars can become your testimony that God can use. So I want to conclude by drawing your attention to the lyrics of a song on your sheet by a group called I Am They. The title of the song is Scars, and I'm just going to read about 6 lines. You can read the rest on your own. But toward the end of the first stanza, the song says, my brokenness brought me to You, and these wounds are a story You'll use. You see, some of you here, it was the scars from your past life that brought you to Jesus. And now He is using those things that created scars in your life for His glory. It goes on in the next stanza, so I'm thankful for the scars. Whoa. You can get to that place. I'm thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know Your heart. God, I wouldn't know Your heart if it wasn't for the scars I have. And I know they'll always tell of who You are. My scars now are going to be a testimony of who You are, God, and Your love and Your faithfulness, what You've done in my life. So forever, I am thankful for the scars. You can get to that point because the scars are redeemable. God can do a work and redeem those scars. And they become a testimony of His love and His transforming power. And they are a constant reminder to you of who your God is and what He's done in your life. Your scars tell a story. The last time I was with my dad in the nursing home, when he was able to actually form words that you could understand before he just started mumbling, I remember sitting there with him by his wheelchair, and we weren't talking. He didn't talk much at that time. But he was sitting there in the wheelchair, and he had one of his hands in front of him, and he was tracing with the other finger on the other hand, his hand, he was tracing the lines on his hand, just following the lines on his hand. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? And he just said two words. He went, "Good hand." And that hand was full of scars. Both hands were. My dad was a mechanic. And his hands were full of scars from injuries, you know. And I remember sitting, talking with him at times, and he would start showing me the scars, or I would bring them up. He had a story for every scar. Every scar on his hands brought back the time when something happened that resulted in that scar. And he would tell me the story. And that day he just said, "Good hand." Friends, God can take whatever those scars are that you live with, scars that are still consuming you, scars that you still struggle with, and he can redeem those. And those scars become a testimony, a reminder of the goodness of God and his love and what he's done in your life since you got that scar. The visible ones, the invisible ones. They become your story and hopefully a testimony to God that you can share with others. Even the Christmas scars can become a testimony because they're redeemable when God works with them and through them. What I would like to do before we close with a song is I would like to say a prayer. And, you know, we're about to start a new year, and we think of freshness and newness when we start a new year. And I would love to see some of you who maybe are still struggling with some scars from the past, visible, invisible, and the reminders that they bring. I would love if you could enter into the new year with those scars being redeemed and being a testimony of God's love and goodness toward you. That those scars would start pointing to Jesus. That when you talk about those scars, you're no longer talking about all these bad things that happened, but you're talking about a good God who took those things and worked them for good in your life, transformed you, that they become a testimony. So what I would like to do, those three little girls were pretty bold. They came up here. I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you're a person who has to say, you know, I live with scars, we all do, but you have to say, there are some scars from my life that still consume me. I still struggle with them. They seem to keep getting in the way. And I want God to redeem those scars. I want him to receive the glory. I want him to be the one I talk about when I refer to my scars. I want my scars to become a testimony. And I'm going to pray for you that that will happen and that you'll see that change in 2021. Your scars becoming testimonies of the goodness and love of God. So if you want to be part of that prayer, you want me to pray for you in this prayer, just stand up, just where you are, and I will pray for you. Anybody, just stand, because I'm not going to wait around. Father, we come before you. Father, the last time probably that I will pray with this group in this year. And Father, the purpose of this prayer is to come before you boldly, like you said. And on behalf of these brothers and sisters, to ask you for mercy and grace to help. Jesus, you know what it's like to bear scars. the visible ones on the body, but also the invisible ones on the heart. And Father, whatever the scars are that these who are standing are thinking about, that are a struggle, Father, I pray that You would do a miracle in their lives. Father, that You would give them the mercy and the grace You promise. And as an understanding God, You would redeem those scars for Your glory. And that those scars would no longer be a story of how bad things were. But Father, if You could just turn them around and work them out so that they would become scars that give testimony to You from these lives of Your goodness and Your faithfulness and Your love to these brothers and sisters. That's my prayer, Father, and I believe You can do that for them. And we will thank You. And may they, in 2021, be able to honestly say, Father, I thank You for the scars, because they remind me of Your heart and Your work in my life. May that be. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all join these in standing and singing.